Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, what a time for you to join. This is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 100 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is July 17th. Can you believe it? Episode 100. 2 years, a Blue Yeti and a dream. And now I have a Rode microphone and a dream. It's how the times change, as they say. Yes, it is episode 100, and we're doing things a little bit differently today. We don't have any headlines this week. What we're going to do is go over some old stories that have new updates now. Some of them are pretty old, all the way back to like episode 6 even. And others are maybe a little bit more recent. But to help me go through these stories, I have a cool new guest, one of the hosts of the Shonen Flop podcast. Please welcome David.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me. I am deeply honored to be guest on episode 100.
Episode 100.
My brain is still in Jackbox when I just got done, so I'm trying to rewire it into how to talk to people that I don't suspect are aliens right now.
I'm not an alien. I promise.
All right. I take your word for it.
You can test me in the box.
We'll find out if I need to shoot the host out of a airlock.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an alien. Not on episode 100, anyway. Maybe 101. So we had a lot of ideas. Well, I had a lot of ideas for what to do on the 100th episode, including highlighting some indie games, but that didn't work out so well. Mm-hmm. But we do have at least one quick interview from a guest from episode 50 who does have an indie game. So we're going to kick it over to that interview, and then we're going to get on with the rest of the show. So we're here with Mike Wells from Fallen City Brawl. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. And thank you for having me back on the show.
Of course, 50 episodes later.
Yeah, and congratulations on 100 episodes. That's fantastic. That's a real achievement.
Thank you very much. Well, you have some achievements of your own, and that's what we're here to talk about. So Fallen City Brawl has come quite a long way since we last spoke. Mm-hmm. So, if you can remember, we spoke in March. How long, or rather, how far along do you think you've come since last March?
I feel like we've come a long way. It was looking back at where we were. It's been a real journey, you know. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of progress. We're at the stage now where I'm launching the Kickstarter on the 4th of August. And there was a huge amount of work to do to get up to that stage. I feel like we've achieved a lot. So I think some of the key things are around the real nuts and bolts of making a beat 'em up great fun to play, making it look good, making it that it'll kind of grab your attention when you're playing it. And that's been really important to me, to get the gameplay right and get the really solid foundations of that game right.
Right.
Still a long way to go, but that emphasis on, you know, how that plays, how it plays, how it really hits hard, you know, that's really
right.
Important to me, you know.
I think so. It sounds like you're at a fine tuning stage, sort of.
Well, I think I wouldn't go quite that far. I think
there's
still some way to go. I think, but what I wanted to make sure was that actually the fundamentals are there in terms of the way the game, the fighting system, for example, that's in place. There's a lot of work to do yet around the levels. So we've got some levels in there that are playable. There's a lot more to do around that. A lot more to do around kind of fleshing out the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of creating all of their super moves, all their specials, and looking at kind of the combos that they can do. What we have done is a lot in terms of sound. Is really coming on now. So lucky to be working with Daniel Lindholm, who is working on the sound for Fallen City Brawl. And you can see, you can hear in the trailer that we put out recently, that's going to have a real impact. And I think it's one of the things that are so important for a beat 'em up, the soundtrack has got to be really strong. And I've got a huge amount of confidence in Daniel. He's worked on Street Fighter V, Resident Evil 6, a number of other kind of big hitting games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm really impressed with his work. And I think the work that he's done on the trailer is fantastic and really kind of helps emphasize that kind of action that's going on there. It was great because when I've been building that trailer for a while, kind of editing the clips together and trying to make it impactful, I sent it across to Daniel and he did some sound design work on it, adding in the kind of punch effects, the throw effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back and he just brought it to life, you know. So I hope it really helps kind of emphasize what I'm trying to get across with that trailer and the kind of frantic action within the kind of beat 'em up that I'm creating, you know. So I think the trailer was a big milestone, kind of getting that out there, getting it so that people can see what the game's all about, get a real feel for the game.
Right. The last time we spoke, you were actually saying that you hadn't actually made the trailer yet, but you were still working on kind of getting it out there.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's been a long process, the trailer. I've learned a lot in the development of the game, but creating the trailer was a really difficult thing because, you know, I've got some experience in the coding side. I've got, you know, I really enjoy the pixel art side. But actually, you know, putting together a trailer is much harder than I realized, that I thought it would be. It's a skill in its own right. And, you know, I'm no expert, but I've kind of taught myself a little bit around pulling the kind of clips together in a way that hopefully, you know, people enjoy it, you know. But it was it was quite a difficult piece of work to do. I've got a lot of respect for people that do that as their kind of job, you know. I think it's a skill all by itself. So it's taken me some time to do it. And I wanted to get it right though. You know, I wanted to make it so that it really shows off what I'm looking to achieve with that game.
And to that point, what does it show off? Like, what do we actually see in the trailer?
There's some new stuff in there that I hadn't shared previously. So we're seeing a selection of the characters. We've got four playable characters now, along with the wolf as well. So we've got a wolf in there who works as a kind of backup character and helps support you kind of through the fight. But there's four main playable characters now that I'm trying to show them off a little in the trailer, some of their specials, some of their moves, some of their combos. And there's other areas. So I've showed the kind of some of the weapons, the kind of baseball bats. You've got the kind of barrel throwing, which is, you know, something that I think is kind of cool. It's a bit of a hark back to like the Double Dragon. There's a lot of barrel throwing in Double Dragon, isn't there?
Right.
It's something you see less of in kind of Streets of Rage and that kind of game. So I think it shows off some of the weapons. Also, the two-player mode, which is something that is quite early in development, but I wanted to show kind of where I was up to with that. And so you've got two characters there battling together through the gym stage. I wanted to show off that gym stage because we've done a lot in terms of the movement of the punch bags and things, interactive kind of elements to that stage, some of the destructible scenery in there as well. So yeah, and also things like the combo system, making sure people can see the combo system, but also one of the things I'm trying to capture with the game is a real arcade vibe to it. So, you know, the influences to this game are very much born in the arcade, and so I'm trying to emphasize that with some of the kind of icons that are coming on screen, some of the kind of images that I hope try and kind of give that feel, that real arcade feel from the kind of late 80s, early 90s.
Sure. Talk a little bit about your Kickstarter. So the Kickstarter is coming out August 4th, I believe.
That's right.
And so do you have everything set up? Are you going to do stretch goals, anything like that?
It's been really interesting kind of pulling this together, looking at what I can, how I can basically pull together a set of goals that are going to be really engaging for people, that people are going to be really interested in, and helping support the kind of development of the game. So In terms of goals so far, we'll definitely obviously have the digital versions of the game. We'll be looking to have digital versions for PS4, for Switch, for Xbox, and for PC. And alongside that, there'll also be the digital soundtrack as well. It's going to be a really strong soundtrack, and I want, you know, people to have the opportunity to have that with one of the Kickstarter rewards. Also looking at a digital art book as well. So kind of hopefully emphasizing a lot of the artwork that is going into the game, a lot of the pixel art as well. So there's some of the kind of tiers that I've got. Looking at options for physical release as well. So there's potential for that. I'm not sure quite how that will look on the Kickstarter. I need to have some more conversations around that, but I'd like to do something, offer something in terms of physical release of the game. So I'm looking at options around that at the moment. I think one of the other things, just to, in terms of progress, I'm lucky, you know, I'm developing the game kind of largely kind of myself, with obviously that great support through Daniel in terms of the sound and the music. But you know, another area that has another new thing to talk about, really, working with Zeb, who's an artist.
I'd actually just saw that.
Have you seen it on Twitter? He's fantastic. He, you know, his artwork is just another level. So he does a lot of art around some original characters of his, which are great. There's also a lot of fighting game and beat 'em up kind of pieces on there as well. Some great art of fighting work recently. So Zeb's gonna, or he's currently working on a piece for Fallen City Brawl, and really looking forward to sharing that, because I've seen the kind of the early stages of it, the kind of drafts, and it's just brilliant. The way he's kind of captured the pixel art characters and, you know, created them in a way that, you know, he's really interpreted the characters really well, and it's just going to look outstanding. So really looking forward to sharing that too. And I think that's it's a key development for the project, really, because I think in terms of pixel art, I enjoy pixel art, I enjoy creating the backgrounds of characters, I enjoy the animation side. Other than kind of pixel art, my art skills leave a lot to be desired.
Sure.
You know, my pixel art, I'm sure, can continue to improve as well. But I think that's, I'm much stronger in terms of, or much more confident in terms of pixel art than I am in terms of other kind of media. And so, you know, Zeb's work's fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing that final piece and sharing it. So it's going to be great. The Kickstarter is the focus now, really. I think it's going to be so important, because there is quite a lot to do on the game still. Like I say, I've got the fundamentals in place of how the fighting kind of works, but you'll see that there's only a limited number of stages that have developed so far, only a limited number of characters, and actually what's going to be so important is making sure that I'm creating a game here that's going to stand kind of toe to toe with some really strong beat 'em ups that we have currently. And I think it's going to be important that you know, that people have the opportunity to kind of, and feel engaged with that Kickstarter, and you know, it's so important to me that people have the opportunity to kind of support the game in a way that, you know, that will be really beneficial to them in terms of getting something extra through that Kickstarter process. And yeah, so it's exciting working on how I can make that a reality.
Right. Wonderful. So my last question to you, my friend, is, have you ever had like any time for yourself? Have you been able to play any games?
I do. I mean, I've got a, obviously I've got a family as well. So I've got two daughters, and I'm married as well. So I work, on the game, and balance that with, you know, kind of other parts of my life, I guess. And I do, though. I still enjoy playing games. I think it's important. I think it's easy, because it's easy to kind of let the development side, it's very easy to be swallowed up by it, you know, because there is always something more to do. I think particularly at this stage now where there's the game's development, but there's also the promotion of the game and talking about the game and really engaging, trying to engage with people on social media, for example. So I kind of do share a lot on Twitter, but I'm also trying to kind of develop a little bit more on Facebook and YouTube because I think there's a lot of people that aren't aware of the game yet, you know. So I think promotion is really important. But yeah, still, you know, enjoy playing games. I play a lot on PS4. I think I tend to favor kind of more old school, more retro games. Do enjoy playing beat 'em ups. So yeah, I dug on my PSP recently as well. So I had a Sony PSP that hadn't loaded up for a little while. So I've been playing the Sega Mega Drive collection on that as well. So I do quite like a kind of retro vibe. But yeah, you know, playing games is really important. I've always loved playing games, and it's one of the kind of ways that I like to relax. So what about yourself? What have you been
Absolutely.
playing?
Oh, you know. Actually, I've been playing Yakuza 0. I picked that up recently.
It's
And then I've
awesome, isn't
also
it?
got it's a lot of fun. It's a
I've been
lot of fun.
I'm some way through that. I'm not, you know, I've just onto the chapter where we've got a new character. I should know his name, and I can't remember his name. He's got an eye patch, and he manages like a bar. I should know his name, but he's a different, very different style of fighting to Kira. So it's yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with Yakuza.
That's Goro Majima. Great character. Very
Exactly. I'm glad you
very
reminded me.
interesting background, but I won't spoil it for the listener. Just go
Yeah.
play it.
Well, it's funny, you know, I've been playing that and then finding myself in the arcades playing Outrun and Super Hang-On. I think it isn't in Yakuza Zero as well, isn't it? In the arcade kind of sections of the game. So yeah, a lot of fun though.
There's a there Yakuza 0 has this nice charm about it where you're even if you're not from the time period where it takes place, you can still kind of enjoy the aesthetic of like not having a cell phone and like not like a smartphone and technology's not super advanced, but you can kind of see where it all kind of came from. And then
Definitely.
to see it all in a kind of Japanese influence too is all it's just really nice. It's cool. And then to see it from like a Yakuza point of view as well is also like really cool. So yeah, it's a good game. Well then, that is Mike Wells from Fallen City Brawl. Mike, thanks so much for being on.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, and
Of
it's been a real
course.
pleasure.
Yeah, and we will hear from you again, hopefully soon, with more news about Fallen City Brawl.
Definitely. Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll get back to the rest of the show.
Hello, I am Adam Higgins from the Odd Dad Out podcast, where normal is not my specialty. What does that mean? Well, I just can't do one thing. Every week, I give you a sampling of personal stories, rants, ramblings, or just spending a day to nerd out a bit. Plus, I make fun of some weird news stories, and I tell you about a podcast that I think you should check out because sharing is caring, right? So if any of that sounds up your alley, subscribe to Odd Dad Out at odddadoutpodcast.com.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what this Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all these games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Hello, hello, hello. to the show. So let's get into, well, first of all, let's talk to my guest here, my good friend David, as we say.
Yes.
You have your own show as well.
I do. So I co-host a show along with my friend Jordan called Shonen Flop. And so what we do is we look at manga that printed in the magazine Shonen Jump, which is where a lot of really big manga and anime originated from, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, and we talk about the ones that really didn't make it big. These are series that never were big in the polls, didn't sell well, but there's still a lot of really interesting things to look at when you read them, because, you know, sometimes they have just an idea that maybe the idea wasn't ready yet, or maybe they're just complete garbage fires and it's fine to just look at the terrible art. And it's just really cool to kind of break down what it did right, what it did wrong, and ultimately maybe how the series could have reinvented itself to have become a success.
Right. And that's a really good concept, because, I mean, it's very rare that people want to talk about something that has failed.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that maybe didn't do so well but is getting better. It's a really good idea. It's a nice... Nice refresher for me, because I don't wear manga. No, nobody does. I don't read a lot of manga to begin with, so it's nice to kind of follow along and kind of like read while you guys chat and get through a couple pages in an hour, and holy crap, an hour's gone.
I know, right? We had a lot of discussion about how long we wanted to be, where I wanted to be like 30 minutes and my co-host really wanted to be like an hour. And we just found that really around the 50-minute mark is like kind of without any of the fat, how much we have to say.
Right.
And to that point, though, actually, it's interesting. I think just based on talking to people, that 30% of our audience don't actively read manga, which is why we put a lot more effort to really explain everything. So yeah. We don't assume that you have any like manga knowledge at all when you listen to it.
It's the same for this show. I don't assume people are like actively following like GameSpot and all the others. Mm-hmm. So try to give some background, then we flesh out the rest for you so that you don't have to. Also, you get to know some nerd. Isn't that fun?
Oh, man. I had a very nerdy moment yesterday that really shows how I spend, you know, all my day on Reddit instead of mainstream things like sports. Because to be perfectly honest with the whole Washington Redskins controversy, until I think yesterday, I thought it was Washington. Like the state. Not DC.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
So did I.
So I think that's kind of a badge of honor. Like, people are like, are you serious? I was like, dude, I run a manga podcast.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to sports ball.
So yeah, I have a really vivid memory of the house that I lived in was, it was Thanksgiving maybe 15 years ago. My uncle's a very sportsy guy. His whole family is, you know, they played basketball and football. And he asked my dad, he says, oh, Marvin, my dad's name, he says, can you put the game on? And my dad just goes, what game? Oh. And so I think that's, yeah, you know, probably the most famous football game of the year, you know. So even I was like, oof, that's impressive. That's impressive, not sports. Yeah. I actually don't know to this day if he knows what game my uncle was talking about, because my uncle just kind of gave up.
Yeah, never mind. No need to put the game on. Yeah. I don't know.
Exactly. He's like, I'm going to go talk to my sister now and convince her to divorce you.
See, I've only just begun getting into hockey, and that is mostly because of two of my friends who play on a local team, and they also started their own little hockey podcast. So, like, that's the only reason. If it's on a podcast, I'll probably get into it.
Yeah.
But that's truly the only reason I've even begun getting into any kind of sport, is because I have friends who play on a team and they're really into it, and I'm like, well, gotta be supportive.
Exactly. My friend Dan, who actually was on the fourth episode that was about rugby, and he was a rugby player, was similar, where he has a really cool podcast called the Snowflake Sports Podcast. So shout out to Dan and his awesome podcast. And it's definitely interesting, because I'm learning a lot more sports listening to it, but it's like he's saying things that are really probably obvious to anyone who knows the sports, but I'm like, who's this LeBron James guy? He sounds important.
What's one of those?
Yeah.
How do I get me one of those LeBron Jameses? Where are those from?
Yeah, when people say LBJ, I think the president, which apparently is not
That's
the current.
So annoying. Why would anyone do that to LeBron James? Just give him his own nickname.
I know, right? Terrible.
God.
Absolutely. Space Jam 2, really. When I found out it was that LBJ, I was a lot more disappointed in the second Space Jam that they're working on.
No, you can't have President Lyndon B. Johnson
exactly
sports ball crossover with Bugs Bunny and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, he's like, listen, guys, if I could pardon Nixon, I can dunk. Actually, I think LBJ was legitimately like 6'5". So maybe he actually would be one of the... Besides him and Lincoln might have been two best
maybe
presidents.
Maybe he's LeBron James reincarnated. Maybe. Or wait.
Other way around.
Other way around. You guys know I don't know how to do words.
They call him King James. So maybe they should be calling him President James.
Oh, maybe. Who knows? Maybe in a few years he's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm president now.
Yeah.
LBJ2. Part two.
I'm trying to think of like a good like things like LBJ, short for Let's Break Jankles.
Jankles,
yes, that's your sports part.
LBJ, Long Buckin' Johns.
Yeah, I should do a draft for presidential basketball team. Last pick is like probably James Madison, who I think was like 5'4".
Oh, tiny man.
Yeah, I think I was reading because there's like Wikipedia has like a page on every single attribute of presidents, and presidential height was one of them where they compare it. So let me see, shortest. I'm looking things up, user. If you are, I'm using the power of the internet. Yeah, James Madison was 5'4".
Oh, tiny.
So, yeah.
Tiny man.
So, oh, I guess, let's see.
You put him on there to, like, slide between people's legs.
Right? Yeah, LBJ was the second tallest president after Lincoln. He was like a quarter of an inch shorter than Lincoln.
Wow.
So, he definitely, I would have paid good money to whatever scientific process was required to see LBJ dunk on James Madison.
Yeah, reanimate all of the presidents, put them on a basketball team. That's a video game. Let's make it.
Yo, dude, fantasy presidential basketball. Or what is it? NBA Presidential Jam.
Oh, shit. We got to pitch this to 2K.
Dude, this is like on Shonen Flop, because we like talk about how we'd redo this series, and like half the time we're like, shit, man, this actually, I'd read it. Like last episode, we covered the series called Robot Laser Beam, which was like a super boring golf manga, mm-hmm. where like they didn't have any way to make it interesting. But we were like, dude, what if it was like that mini golf? And they just went really ham on like really serious, intense mini golf. And my co-host, he talked to me next week, and because he's an artist, and he's like, David, we got to make this. So we're like working on a pitch for like a fantasy, like ultra serious mini golf manga. So that's
it.
Our next project after
yeah,
Shonen Flop.
Yeah, do it up. I'm a reader already. Subscribed.
I appreciate the support.
So, again, what we're going to do this episode is we're going to take some of the stories from past episodes and see if they've got an update, see if anything's happening with them. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start with episode 48, where we talked about Back for Blood. So the Left 4 Dead 4, the Left 4 Dead creators are working on a new game called Back for Blood. Probably a similar kind of co-op zombie game like Left 4 Dead. This time, Turtle Rock Studios they've revealed to us some new concept art. Not much, but it is a little something. They seem to have taken the time to kind of create this kind of wilderness area. Mm-hmm. Looks like there's a big settlement, maybe like a old prison or something like that. There's a lot of tires and pointy fence defense system thingies. So you know there's some movement there. There's some movement over at Turtle Rock Studios. Mm-hmm. Looks like it's coming along slowly.
Yeah. I mean, it's to be honest, like, Evolve was such a disappointment. Just because I don't even know if any game has really done asymmetrical multiplayer in a good way. Mm-hmm. So it would really be great if they got back to their roots, especially since Valve, I guess, was serious about making Left 4 Dead 3 and then they just killed the idea. So yeah. I think there's really a void for this kind of cooperative. Because to be honest, like, I really like co-op games like this. But usually it's really horde or bust. And there hasn't been a really great cooperative, like, dynamically created single-player game or multiplayer game like this in a while.
Yeah, it's a shame that it seems Valve kind of had to drop a lot of their better projects. So in addition to the Back 4 Blood news we got recently, we also got some news about Left 4 Dead 3 and how it had to be shelved. But it would have taken place in Morocco. It would have used the Source 2 engine, but the engine is unfinished, unfortunately.
Aww.
So they had to kind of shelve the entire project. And the way things kind of work at Valve, too, is very interesting because they kind of vote on what to work on next. It's a very collaborative environment from what we understand. And I guess this wasn't what was in the cards for the people who work, for what's his face, Gabe Newell. They just kind of was, no, we don't want to do this. Let's work on Half-Life instead. And then they said, well, let's also not work on Half-Life. So it's a shame that we still didn't get Left 4 Dead 3, but we may get something good, something reminiscent in Back 4 Blood.
Yes, for sure. Hopefully. I will be very excited. And I hope it comes on Game Pass, because that's like my current love right now.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, maybe it'll go on Steam, and then I thought, well, maybe not. All things considered, maybe it won't.
I don't know. Gabe's probably no hard feelings. He's probably too busy sleeping in a sack of money.
Sack of money. Big dollar bills.
Yep.
Bed made of them.
God.
Shaking hands with Jeff Bezos and the whole crew.
I've actually talked to Gabe Newell on email a few times. Like, back in the day, like 10 years ago, you could actually just email him and he would write you back.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to dig those emails up. It was like in my old childhood account. But yeah, I sent him a few emails and he responded. I talked to Robin Walker, who was like the head of TF2 as well. Hmm. And he was a really cool guy.
That's really cool. They're not this way anymore, though.
Yeah,
Money changes a man.
I think I emailed Gabe because I sent Robin Walker a friend request, and he didn't accept it, and Gabe said he would yell at Robin for me.
Oh.
And then I asked if Gabe would add me on Steam, and then he ignored my email.
Oh, well, there you go.
So that's the closest I've been to touching.
Two friends lost.
Dude, imagine just, we're like, all right, so next week's guest is Gabe Newell, who I've been friends with for about 12 years because I sent him an email, and we kept it up.
If only.
God. That would be
life. Life doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Sad.
He probably was just like, oh, this 12-year-old's fucking bothering me again.
Yeah. Fuck this kid.
Oh, go away, child.
I am counting my money.
Okay. Next up on the list,
yes,
from episodes 6, 67, and 74, Tencent. Back in these episodes, we reported on a few of Tencent's kind of gatherings. However, I think on 67, we actually spoke about the unrest in the Hong Kong protests, and how Riot kind of shut down some streams that they were having for the Overwatch League. No, not for Overwatch League. That was for... No, it wasn't right. It was Blizzard. My mistake. There's so many companies.
Yeah, it's really touched them all.
Yes. Tencent has their hands in so many different companies. But the Blizzard controversy, back when there were Hearthstone streamers, one of them said, something in support of Hong Kong, and they immediately shut down the stream. The Taiwanese broadcasters at the time were also fired from the broadcast with Blizzard, and it just caused a whole big mess. It was a big mess. But now Tencent is looking to acquire Warframe and the company that owns them. Leiyu is the parent company of Warframe and Gears Tactics. They've put a hold on trading, but they seem to be going with Tencent, or so it seems so far. As a reminder of just a few things Tencent has invested in, Discord for one, apparently. Apparently Tencent has given a considerable amount of money to Discord. They've also invested in Riot. I think they own almost, if not all, of Riot.
I believe they have 100% equity in Riot.
Yeah, so there's that. They've also invested some money in Snapchat and some other apps. They also have enough money to basically develop their own gaming studios. They have the largest skyscraper I've ever seen in my life. And they're basically worth, if not more than, about $500 billion? I don't know, maybe
that's,
less?
That's a lot.
They're worth a lot. They're worth a lot. I mean, the numbers are bigger in Chinese dollar. Thank you. I don't know what it is. I forgot what it was.
So what you're saying is Tencent is probably worth more than a dime. So their name is very misleading.
That is true.
I don't know. Misleading. I was really proud of that joke, but I don't know if it was as clever as I thought it was.
You know what? I didn't get it for a moment, but then I was like, hang on. I follow. This tracks.
I cashed that one in.
For 10 cents.
That was the one joke I wrote ahead of time for the show.
I got it.
Oh,
I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Okay, sorry.
But yes, I mean, they're worth way more money than, I don't know, anybody else on except maybe Jeff Bezos. Shout out to Jeff Bezos.
I know there's $3 billion companies, I believe. Amazon, Microsoft, and Apple. I'm not sure if there's more, but I know those three are at least worth $1 billion. Or $1 trillion, sorry.
Ah, trillions. Now we're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. In any case, that's kind of where things are right now. In addition to working on trying to obtain Warframe, they are also working in tandem with the Pokemon Company to make Pokemon Unite. Mm-hmm. They've recently helped to open a new studio led by a former Rockstar developer. There's a lot going on with Tencent, and it's almost impossible to escape them. They have their hands in a lot of different pies. Is that a saying? I feel like that's a saying.
I think it's finger.
Finger in the pie? That, I don't
maybe.
Like that.
I don't know.
Hand in the pot.
Man, this is making me hungry. Do you want to get some pie after this?
Pie? No. Cake? Yes.
Ooh, I could go for some cake.
Cake. Cake sounds good. Have you seen the things with the microphones and the stuff for cakes now? The cup is a
yeah.
cake. Your hand's a cake.
I love that astronaut meme where it's like a Earth being cut in half and it's like one astronaut's like, it's all a cake and then everyone has a gun. And he's like, it always has been.
Yeah, I'm
I
sure
love that.
It
I love that meme.
Cut into the asphalt. Eat some freaking cake.
Fuck, now I want cake.
I had too much. We recently had a birthday, so
happy birthday.
I'll let him know you said that. So I mean, what do we do? Do we be upset about Tencent putting their hands into everything, or do we just let it be?
I mean, I think, to be honest, I think it's just so far gone that they just have so much influence that mm-hmm. stopping this one thing really doesn't change anything is the problem.
Right. Right. And I mean, I wonder how much more they can get though. Like, why Warframe? Is Warframe very popular in China? Because I mean, Tencent started as kind of acquiring these companies so that they could bring it to a Chinese market. It seems, I don't know. It seems weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly am not sure. I know some people that play Warframe, but I never knew anyone that was like really intense. About it. I had a roommate in college I was into it, but
it's
never,
got a pretty big following.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't know. Maybe there is a big following in China. Maybe that's something we need to look into. But yeah, Tencent getting up all of our stuff. Doesn't feel great, but you know, gotta kind of do what you can. Mitigate the Tencent exposure. Stop playing Riot games. No, I'm kidding. Don't
oh,
do
God,
that.
League of Legends. How is that like that Overwatch ripoff? Or it's like CS:GO plus Overwatch that they made.
Valorant
I haven't heard anything about it. Really?
It is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. I did not play CS:GO like the rest of the world did. So I kind of jumped in super blind. But the formula of like buying skills and buying weapons and like coordinating with a good group and all that good stuff, it feels good. It feels nice. It's a lot of fun. And I hate that I find it fun, because I did not find CSGO fun at all. And to get in on this instead, and I'm like, oh shit, it actually is kind of fun. It makes me sad.
Yeah, exactly.
But like happy sad. Sad sappy. In a good way. Sappy. Yeah, a little bit. A little sappy.
A little sappy. There we go. That's the one. Sappy. I guess sappy's already a word, so I can't use it.
Sappy. Got to slip an H in there.
Sappy, yes. The H stands for happy.
Mm-hmm. And so the S stands for sad. That's why you're sappy. Dipped up. Bip-bop.
Bip-bop. Oh, is this the beatboxing section of the podcast?
No, I can't do that.
I mean, I had a performance piece, but it sounds like this isn't appropriate.
Yeah, so. No, you'll upstage me and I'll be upset, so. None of that, sir.
If I had half your looks, I'd be twice as handsome as I am
now. Okay, well, yeah, actually
you're like,
right.
You're already on the show. No need to suck up.
Cut it out.
All right. Jeez, I'll go take my basketball team with LBJ.
So let's dip in to the next story based on episode 98.
Yes.
If you are so surprised that I chose an episode so recent, mm-hmm. It is because I'm too interested in these new streaming services that are trying to pop up. Mm-hmm. In particular, I'm very interested in Brime. So if you didn't listen to episode 98, you should, but also here's what you need to know. Brime is basically a new streaming service. It wants to take on the likes of Twitch and Facebook Gaming and YouTube Gaming, but it's very up in the air as to what they can actually accomplish. When we first reported on it, I think they had something like 80,000 followers over the course of just a week, and that was due to Dr. Disrespect. There were some rumors that he and Ninja and Shroud were starting this new streaming service, and a lot of people put their gaze onto Brime. Brime took it and ran with it and said, actually, no, we're not, but since you're here anyway, here's what we're gonna plan. They've had all these plans, but they don't seem to really have a website yet. They had a website for like a day. They said it was to test bandwidth, and then they took it down. And now the BrimeLive.com domain just relinks back to their Twitter page. There was another streaming service that apparently wanted to be Brime. They had the name first or second or something, but this other Brime took it and ran and was like, no, we're Brime now. So they've renamed to Ribble, R-I-B-B-L. They don't have nearly as many followers, but they also do not have a website. And, well, sorry, I lied. They do have a website, but it's kind of just their logo, and that's it. It also has the logo from when they were still being quote-unquote Brime. There's a lot of moving parts here. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of moving parts. Brime and Ribble, and then there's a whole bunch of other little ones that are trying to pop up. I think one is called Troco. That was Trovo. That was started back in May. They seem to have a decent following, and actually they are already live and have people streaming. There's not huge numbers, but the numbers are there. People are watching, people are playing. So it could potentially go somewhere. There's a lot happening in the world of streaming services.
Jeez. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And I kind of gave up. And I'm like, I'll just wait for the dust to settle, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But also, I can't help myself, and I'm in too deep now. So I decided to sneak into the Brime Discord, and ooh. By sneak into, I mean I pressed the button. And it's kind of chaotic in there. So they recently had an art competition. where they were going to offer someone $300 for their art, but then someone they were already working with got really upset with them. His name, I believe, is Take Two. That's his, like, moniker. He did some art for Brime, then was upset. Then Brime tried to, you know, compensate him and say that he's part of the family. But then he said, no, no, I'm just going to go. And then now he's saying he was never part of it. Now he's saying he was part of it, but Brime is saying, no, he wasn't. And there's just a whole lot of back and forth going on between them. And it really makes me wonder if people like this should call it quits. And I guess here's what I mean by that. It seems to me like someone, whoever's pulling the ropes over at Brime, whoever's orchestrating everything, is also trying to do the social media for Brime.
Yeah.
It's not working out too well. Someone described it as like a knockoff Wendy's account, because, you know, Wendy's likes to do the sick burns and all that.
Or like Denny's.
Right, yeah. They like to, you know, have a little fun with their social media, but Brime's doing it kind of not as great. But then on top of that, they feel the need to, like, anyone who comes after them has to get taken down immediately. So they're posting all these receipts, quote unquote, about the Take Two incident and the art and all this stuff. And it, I don't know, it just looks, it comes off as very petty and, like, childish.
That's not good.
And I'm just wondering, like, do you take your losses at this point?
That's a really good question. And I feel like, to be honest, like, maybe they should just start again. Like, I'm pretty involved in being up to date with the news, and I had never heard of them, which speaks, I think, volumes of just where they are in the market right now.
Can anyone really compete with the three right now?
That's the thing about it, is it's so hard to break in. You know, like, there's all these industries. It's like back when people were trying to make MMOs, and WoW was just too far. You can't beat WoW, you know?
And I hate really kind of saying that, because people have always said, like, oh, you know, there's too many XYZ things for you to be popular. Too many streamers, too many blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, there's like a billion pizza shops across the United States, and they're doing fine. So, like, come on, we can do this. If you want to enter a market, you can. But at the same time, I just feel like there's so much secrecy, despite them wanting to be kind of quote-unquote transparent. And it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good at all. I will say that I've checked out two other streaming services. One is called, again, Trovo. They seem to be up. They're in kind of a beta right now. There are people streaming. Everything looks fine. You know, there obviously could be more. But, you know, we just haven't got there with them yet. Another is called Lunar, L-U-N-R. I joined their Discord as well. It seems weird that they would have a Discord. And that's...
We've got secret agent, Kami Jace.
I do this all the time. I'm like, okay, you've got a Discord chat, I'm going in.
Jeez. I'm going to just start making Discords, you know, just to see if you'll join them.
Just for me to join them and be like, what's going on here?
I'm
going to
make 15 decoy Discords.
I'll be there. I'll just be lurking and reading other people's stuff, and I'll be like, okay, I get it. I understand what's going on now. It's going straight onto the podcast.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me how, and let me know if I'm going too off topic. There was a time where I do like a lot of like indie music discovery, and I share it with my friend a lot. And I just remember there was this one time where he was like, David, I found this really awesome indie band, and I was excited to share it with them. And I checked their Facebook page, and they had 1,500 followers. And then you were fucking one of them. Have that screenshot saved somewhere. I just love that. So it's like that, or it's like, oh, I found this really cool underground. It's like, ah, goddamn.
You're already there.
I know, right?
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
You're already there. Well, Lunar, first of all, I don't like the idea of these kind of like wannabe companies having Discords. But I guess if they're this tiny, I guess they maybe should. just to kind of chat with people, get feedback and all that. That being said, though, it seems like maybe they have a bit more, maybe moxie is the word.
Yeah, they got that vim, you know.
That vim. Because they already have tested their server. They already have shown what their website would look like. They have a lot of assets ready to go. They've been testing. And it looks like there's something here. Like, they have a product and it'll be ready to roll out at some point. That being said, they did also, for some reason, decide to kind of get into the Brime drama, retweeting and kind of like provoking Brime. At one point, Brime even joined the Discord server and then backed out, and they were like, oh, haha, look who's here. And, you know, it all just comes off as very kind of playground, childish pettiness with what should be up-and-coming cool things for people who left Mixer or who are unhappy with Twitch to come and join your thing. But, like, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable getting with anyone right now.
Jeez.
You're all being so petty.
Hey, you treat yourself right, okay?
That's true.
You deserve it.
I do. 100th birthday.
Yes. Oh, man. See, I'm surprised actually you didn't have a cake for this.
Oh, you're right. Shit.
Oh, well. We should coordinate. You know, tomorrow we'll get cakes.
Yeah. Episode 100. Cake, you know, time.
I'll be back for episode 1,000. And I'll send you a cake.
Hold on. Episode 1,000.
It's going to happen, right?
It's 2 years to do 100 episodes.
Yeah, so it'll be 900 episodes, so divided by 50.
So I can't do math.
It'll be 18 years.
No, I don't think so.
Because you're doing 100 episodes every 2 years.
I don't think 18 years. 18 years from now? No, I don't want to think about it. We're going to move on. Actually, we're going to move to the end of the show because okay. That's where we are.
Oh,
so, geez. As we move along toward the end of the... I'm sorry, I, like, dominated the Brime talk, but it's...
No, I went on, like, a 10-minute tangent story, and the whole time I was like, oh, I wonder if he's just going to cut that part out.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Presidential Basketball League.
It's fun. It's fun. We have fun here.
That's actually what I say when I play Dungeons and Dragons and the players get too off tangent. I say, guys, we're having fun here, and then they know that means like they get back into focus.
We're doing a good time. We're having fun here. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you, the guest, give our listeners a recommendation. What game or games should they be on the lookout for?
Absolutely. So I was actually going to talk about how awesome Jackbox has been during all this Rona stuff, but I know you talked about it last week. So the game I'd really like to highlight is a indie horror game called, unceremoniously, World of Horror. Mm. And so it's kind of this roguelike RPG adventure game where it's based on the work of kind of a mashup of H.P. Lovecraft with kind of that cosmic horror, but then Junji Ito, the guy who did like Uzumaki.
Oh.
And so you just enter, it's just a lot of like very deep-rooted like visual horror. And you encounter situations where it's like, oh, you meet like an ominous man carrying a box. He asks you to help him carry his box. What do you do? Or you find a mysterious book on the ground. Do you read it? Or you fight, you know, different types of monsters while you're solving mysteries. And so it's just been a lot of fun. Like, for instance, I actually found that the most fun way is just playing it with people because there's so many choices you make. People help you decide what you want to do as you're solving these mysteries.
And this is World of Horror?
Yes. It is available on Steam. It's early access, but they do update it frequently. There's a suggestion board on their Discord, and I actually set one of the most highly rated suggestions of all time in that in the game, there's a random encounter that gets you a dog companion, and I said, you should be able to pet the dog. And that was the most highest rated suggestion
of course you would
in
say
recent
something
history
like
of the game. And they're like, actually, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I was like, as a mental health boost, you should be able to pet the dog.
Oh.
Yeah, because there's both stamina, and then I forget what the other one is, but it's like your mental health.
Is it a first-person game?
It is, so it's like a visual novel where you don't, you see your character portrait, but everything else, there's, like, it's a 2-bit game, so it's all sprite-based.
Right.
Yeah, if you check out the screenshots, you can see very clearly what I mean by that, but yeah. So it's all menu-based, like a visual novel.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. I think I'm going to recommend Valkyria Chronicles.
Ooh.
Very good game, a good take on the kind of strategy, real-time strategy kind of genre, with some RPG elements in there. I think underrated might be a word for it. It's very anime. The story is kind of silly. It moves very quickly, but it still feels nice to play, and it's very kind of fluid, and the combat's easy to pick up. What's kind of hard is kind of knowing, you know, which assets to use at which time, which soldiers to use, how to position everything. But then you start getting the hang of it, and you're like, oh, this is cake time.
Jeez, cake is just on your mind.
It is. I truly don't want any more cake, but like I will
gladly take it. So actually, if you get a chance, my co-host Jordan, it was, I believe, a big fan. Like, I remember going to his house. I've known my co-host for maybe 15 years at this point, and we would play Valkyrie Chronicles on like his PS3 back in the day.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you need someone to talk to, he's your guy.
It's a great game, and I will chat with people about it. Chat with you. Chat with me. Chat with everybody. All right. So as always. Oh wait, no. Sorry. You have to do plugs first. Tell us where can we find you on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
Absolutely. So you can find us on our website at shonenflop.com. That's also, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at the Shonen Flopcast, and you I'm really out of it. You can also find us on iTunes and Spotify. And really, just, I'd really appreciate it if you guys would give us a listen, maybe like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you can give us ratings on iTunes, that's been helping a ton, and we really want to keep the crown away from Crunchyroll, you know, our new rivals in the podcast space of manga and anime.
Crunchyroll.
Yes. I forget if I mentioned it or not, but we recently took their spot in the leaderboard, the top 5 leaderboard of most popular anime podcasts this week.
Amazing.
Which is really exciting, yeah.
If only I could reach for the stars as you have. And achieve such goals.
Very, very. I think anime podcast is probably not the biggest community. So,
I don't know.
You are playing in a larger playing field than we are.
That's probably true. I take it back. I'm doing fine.
Yes. All right. You are fucking doing. You're killing it. You're 100 episodes in, man. I'm on 4
killing
episodes.
Fatality. All right, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. You can find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter as well at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. As David said, please do it because it helps. It helps a lot. I was number 46 in Lithuania. I'm pretty sure I still am. And that's as far as I got. So I'd like to get further here, maybe in my home country of the United Studies. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. Support your favorite charities. Support the show. That's all you gotta do. Our logo and art is by Doghouse Corgian of East... Let me do that again. Our logo and art is by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That is all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm David.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.